I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 1. I'd like to read in your hearing from Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Mark chapter 1, starting in verse 9. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Will you pray with me? Father, we are grateful that you have given us ears to hear. Will you also give us eyes to see and a mind to understand your word so that we might properly respond to the revelation that you have granted to us? We desire to see Jesus, and will you open our eyes that we might see? I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. We continue our work through the walk through the Gospel of Mark. Mark wrote primarily to Roman readers, and his emphasis is on Jesus Christ as the servant of God. In chapter 1 and chapter 2 up to verse 12, we have the presentation of the servant. The Gospel of Mark opens in chapter 1 with verses 1 through 3. Where we have an announcement. We see what is being announced, who is being announced, and the importance of that announcement. In verses 4 through 8 of chapter 1, we have an appearing. There is the appearing of John the Baptizer. There's the appearing of the people from the land of Judea and from Jerusalem. And there is an appearing of another baptizer. Today in verses 9 through 11, what was announced and has appeared is now acknowledged. As a people, we have various ways of acknowledging a person or an event. There was a time when a gentleman might stand when a woman enters a room, or when being introduced to a woman. Today, there is an acknowledgement. If you happen to be on 35 headed south toward Austin and behind you are red and blue lights flashing, there is an acknowledgement that trouble is at hand. And of course, the ultimate acknowledgement will occur as recorded in Romans 14:11, where it says, "For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." But what acknowledgement or acknowledgements are revealed in verses 9 through 11? Look at verse 9. It says, "It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan." We seem to have a limited acknowledgement from mankind. Mark does not provide detailed information about Jesus' baptism. There's no interaction between John and Jesus as recorded in Matthew chapter 3. There's no action performed by Jesus or no other people being baptized as in Luke chapter 3. We have the announcement of another baptizer, and in the next scene, Jesus arrives. So for Mark, the acknowledgement from mankind regarding Jesus' baptism is limited. It's limited to when he occurs, when it occurred. It came to pass in those days. It's limited to Jesus' location from Nazareth of Galilee. There's a limited audience, Jesus and John. Others from Judea and Jerusalem are no longer mentioned. What occurs here reflects mankind's current limitation in this age. We can see it from Paul's statement in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 13:12. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. So we have a limited acknowledgement from mankind in these verses. But why is mankind's acknowledgement limited? And I would suggest to you, it is limited because we have natural eyes. And we know this even when we were children. You've all probably experienced the game of hide and go seek. Of course, the origin of the game probably comes from Adam and Eve, the first players of hide and go seek. Here the Lord is walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they're hiding among the trees. But you know there's no hiding from God. You cannot hide your physical presence from the Lord. You can't hide past acts from the Lord. You can't hide your thoughts from the Lord. You cannot hide the evil in your own heart from the Lord. But they decided to play hide and go seek. They were not successful. But we as people, we can play hide and go seek because we have natural eyes. And to play, you can play indoors, you can play outdoors. All you need is something to hide behind because we have natural eyes. We do not have the vision of Superman, but even Superman, you can hide behind lead, I'm told. So maybe Superman also has a problem with natural eyes. So there's a limitation of acknowledgement in these verses from mankind. And one of the reasons for that is that we have natural eyes. But that is not the only thing that restricts our vision. The lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life can skew how clearly we see. It may be that we have not considered the plank in our own eyes, which can block our view. Unrepented sin can shut our eyes so that we cannot see. Paragraph 3 of chapter 9 in the London Baptist Confession of Faith says, man, by his fall into a stage of sin, hath wholly lost all ability of will to any spiritual good accompanied salvation. This is why mankind's eyes are limited, and we see there's a limited acknowledgement from mankind in verse 9. We have natural eyes and our view is limited, but we are still accountable for what has been revealed. For the people of Judah and those from Jerusalem, they are accountable because they have the law and the testimony. The Gentiles are not excused from God's judgment, but they will not be judged according to the Mosaic law that was not given to them, but they too will be judged. So there's a limited acknowledgement from mankind regarding why Jesus is among them and what he is doing. That limited acknowledgement is seen today. Many family members, friends, classmates, co-workers are exposed to the witness of Christ, yet their natural eyes prevent them from understanding the work he is doing. Francis Schaeffer said some time ago in describing his day that Christianity is no longer providing the consensus upon which our law is based. We are in a time when humanism is coming to its natural conclusions in morals and values and in law. All that society has today are relative values based upon statistical averages, yet our culture is still accountable. What acknowledgments are revealed in verses 9 through 11? Mark would have us to see that there is a limited acknowledgment from mankind, but verse 9 reveals other acknowledgment. Look again at verse 9. It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Here we have an acknowledgement from Jesus himself. Mark did not state why Jesus submitted to John's baptism, but we should consider at least a few things. One, it was an act of obedience, showing that Jesus was in full agreement with God's overall plan, and the baptism of John is part of that plan. In Matthew 3, verses 13 through 15, we have this recorded. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. So it was an act of obedience. It was also an act of self-identification with the nation of Israel. In Isaiah 53:12, it reads, therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. It was an act of obedience. It was an act of self-identification with the nation of Israel. And it was an act of self-dedication to his messianic mission, satisfying his official acceptance and entrance into it. Mankind's understanding of what is occurring is limited. Jesus is appearing without the limitation experienced by mankind. He knows why he has come. His baptism by John is part of the plan of God. And another part is identified in 1 John 3:5. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. So we have unlimited acknowledgement from mankind about what Jesus is doing, why he's here. But we have an acknowledgement from Jesus. He knows why he's here and what he's doing. Verse 10 reveals other types of acknowledgement. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. A limited acknowledgement from mankind, an acknowledgement from Jesus. And here we see there's an acknowledgement from creation itself. The heavens parting is the acknowledgement of creation. The word heavens used here is the word sky, or the region above the earth. It can include the space beyond where birds fly to the Father's star. The heavens respond is not a conscientious response, but a movement according to the divine will. Paul uses similar language about the response of creation in Romans 8:2, where he says, for we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. The heavens respond to its creator. We have no description on how the heavens parted. Was it like what the Israelites saw at the Red Sea, where at the command of the Lord, a strong wind divided the water so there was a wall of water on the right and on the left? if the heavens could consciously respond to the will of its creator, how would it seek to glorify God? Would it display layers of clouds for miles folding back? Would the stars move in such a pattern to display his majesty? Was the display was so spectacular that all could be written was that the heavens parted. We don't know how, but when Christ comes again, we might have a better understanding of how the creation responds to its creator. We get a foretaste of what is to come in Matthew 24:30. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. We have no concept of what that looks like. We look up in the sky and we're amazed at the stars. We're amazed at the clouds. We're amazed when the winds are so strong and we call it a tornado. But what will happen when the Son of Man comes and all creation responds to his glory? Will the clouds suddenly open up? Will the light be cast across the entire globe, so all that we can do is to fall down and cry, glory! We have no concept of what it means for the creation to respond to a holy God. We are still amazed when the wind moves at 35 miles an hour. But the creation will respond to its creator. Should we not do as much? We have a limited knowledge, a limited response from mankind. There's a response and acknowledge from Jesus. The creation itself acknowledges. Verse 10 also reveals another acknowledgement. Verse 10 says, and immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. We have an acknowledgement of the Spirit. Here we witness the Spirit's activity descending. In Genesis 1:2, the Spirit is hovering over the face of the waters. In the Old Testament, the Spirit came upon people to empower them for service. We see this early in the Old Testament in Exodus 31, verses 1 through 5. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding and knowledge and in all manner of workmanship to design artistic works, to work in gold and silver and bronze, in cutting jewels for setting, in carving wood, and to work in all manner of workmanship. The descending of the Spirit is an acknowledgement of Jesus. Who Jesus is and the work he will accomplish will be far greater than what was accomplished by Bezalel. Jesus has greater wisdom, understanding, and knowledge of all things, and particularly regarding the Father's will. He will accomplish greater works, not in gold, silver, and bronze, but chiefly in the reconciling of sinful men to a holy God. If angels are witnesses of such things, they may have been keenly aware that something special was happening when the Spirit of God appears. We as a people have the written word of God and can confidently state when the Spirit of God acts, great things happen. We have a limited acknowledgement from mankind. We have an acknowledgement from Jesus. The creation acknowledges. And as if to minimize the response from the creation and how it responds, the Spirit shows up. Our response should be, uh-oh, something is going to happen. It's the Spirit showing up. And when the Spirit shows up, creation occurs. When the Spirit shows up, the lives of men change. The thinking of mankind is altered. The weak becomes strong. And the Spirit shows up and he's descending. There's this now great expectation that something is going to happen. But mankind's view is limited. They don't see what's going on. Is it not so today? Many of you whom God has called to himself understand what it is when God's Spirit moves into your heart and mind and how it changes you. For some, there is just this weeping. For some, the heart beats so great that you wonder if you can contain it within these ribs. The Spirit makes this change. And although we experience it just for a moment, and for us, it just might be some emotional expression of it, but there's this acknowledgement that the Spirit is doing something here. Some are more sensitive to it than others, but the Spirit is working here. It used to be said when I was a little kid in Louisiana that when the thunder happens, you have to be quiet because God is speaking. That's why there is thunder. So as kids, you were quiet because if God is speaking, you don't know what he's saying, but it must be mighty powerful to somebody because this is making a lot of noise. I can't hear it. I don't know the words, but okay, he's speaking. But the Spirit descends, and there's not a lot of noise, but we can anticipate that something great is taking place, a great work. It's as if the car that was in neutral is now in gear because the Spirit has showed up. It could be that you are blind and until the Spirit shows up, now you see. We were counted as unbelievers, but because of the Spirit of God working in us, we can confess Abba, Father. The Spirit descends and a great work takes place. There's a limited acknowledgement by mankind. There is an acknowledgement from Jesus. The creation responds to its creator, and the Spirit is on the scene. Verse 11 concludes with a final acknowledgement. Then a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Here the word heaven is being used differently than in verse 10. Heaven is being used as a substitute for the divine name. In verse 11, God himself speaks. What is spoken is a divine proclamation. It is an acknowledgement of the steadfast love of the Father for the Son. It is an acknowledgement of the unique unity between Father and Son. It is a statement of fact and not a promise of what is to come. It is an acknowledgement of the favor of God as described by Luke in Luke chapter 2, verses 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. To no prophet had words been spoken such as the words to Jesus at his baptism. Abraham was a friend of God, Moses a servant of God, Aaron a chosen one of God, David a man after God's own heart, only Israel and the kings And the king, as Israel's leader, had been called God's son before. But where Israel failed, Jesus obediently succeeds. So we have a limited acknowledgement from mankind about what Jesus is doing here. But we do have an acknowledgement from Jesus, who knows why he is here and what he will be doing. Creation responds. The Spirit responds. The Father responds. There is the acknowledgement that's taking place here. And what shall we make of these acknowledgments? We have natural eyes and are limited in seeing. But Paul provides a little insight, even for those whom, through the Spirit of God, God has caused us to kind of peek. And Paul, in seeing, says these words: the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become his counselor? Or who has first given to him, and he shall be repaid to him? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Only those in whom the Spirit is alive can say such words. Because of our limitation as creatures with a sinful nature and the acts and thoughts that testify to that nature, we need a Savior. We cannot by our best works merit pardon of sin or eternal life at the hand of God. We need one who can deliver us from this body of death. The creation itself groans and labors with birth pangs because it also needs a deliverer from the bondage of corruption. A deliverer has come, Jesus, the beloved Son of the Father. He has done all that is needed for sinful man to call upon a holy God and be saved from the wrath to come. Romans 8, 16 and 17 says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. The Father himself is drawing people to Jesus, the Christ. If you are yet to acknowledge God in repentance and faith toward our Lord Jesus, today is the day of your salvation. Today is the day of your acknowledgement. If, however, you are content to play hide and go seek with a holy God, know that your sin will find you out. And great is the judgment that awaits you. If by the grace of God you have already acknowledged him by confessing with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believing in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you are saved. Here again, the words of Psalms, of the second Psalm, verse 10. Now therefore, be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all those who put their trust in the Lord. Will you pray with me? Father, we acknowledge that we are often blind to the means of your grace. We are prone to wander from your provision. Refresh us anew with your loving kindness. Enliven our spirits that we might praise your name. May it be that by the grace you have given us through your Holy Spirit, we would acknowledge you in all things, in our thoughts, in our thinking, with our lips, with our eyes, with all that we hear and how we interact with one another. May it be so for your glory. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.